Welcome back. Today we're doing a very junglist move in Ableton Live 12, the pad pull. This is one of those classic old school DNB tricks where you bring in a lush pad, let it set the mood, and then you pull it away right before the drums and bass hit hard. And when you do it right, it's not just a filter sweep, it's a whole vibe shift. The pad gets narrower, drier, more duct, less dominance of the break, and the bass feel like they suddenly doubled in size. This is an intermediate composition lesson. We're going to build a performance-ready pad pull rack with macros, then actually use it to create arrangement energy, intro, tension, vacuum moment, drop, and those little rolling section moves that keep jungle from feeling static. Let's set the scene first, because context matters. Set your tempo somewhere between 165 and 175. I'm going to assume 172, because it's that sweet spot where chopped breaks roll but you still get weight. On an audio track, drop in a break. Amen, think, anything in that family. You can keep it as a loop, or if you want to go deeper, slice it to a new MIDI track using transients or 16th notes. Either way, have drums playing while you build the pad pull. Don't design the pad in solo. Jungle pads are supposed to serve the groove, not fight it. Then add a bass. It can be a placeholder. A simple sub pattern is enough. The point is, the pad pull is about making space for the drums and bass, so you need something there to make decisions against. Now create a MIDI track and name it PAD pull. This is your texture and tension track. For the instrument, you've got options. Wave Eatable is great if you want a modern pad that can still do junglist. Analog is instant 90s. Or for true old school flavor, use simpler with a sampled pad or even a rave chord stab stretched out. Here's a quick Wave Eatable pad idea if you want a starting point. Pick a sawish Wave Eatable, add unison like 6 to 8 voices, detune it slightly. Put the filter on LP24, give it a little drive. Set the amp envelope with a small attack, like 20 to 50 milliseconds, so it blooms instead of clicking. Release around 1 to 3 seconds so it trails nicely. If it feels too clean, a touch of noise makes it feel less polite. Then write something simple. Jungle loves minor movement. Think D minor territory, DM7 to F to GM, or even just two chords alternating every two bars. Keep it held. Let the motion come from the rack, not from complicated MIDI. Now we build the pad pull rack. This is where Ableton Live 12 macros become an instrument. Select your instrument device, then group it into an instrument rack. That's Command G on Mac, Control G on Windows. Inside the rack, after the instrument, we'll add a chain of stock effects. Yes, it's a few devices, but the whole point is that each macro will move multiple small things at once. That's what makes it feel like a proper gesture, not just automation. Add auto filter first. That's your main tone sculpting. Then chorus ensemble for width and motion. Optionally, phaser flanger for a slow sweep movement. Then saturator for grit. Then hybrid reverb for space. Then utility for width and gain control. Then compressor for sidechain ducking. And finally EQ8 for cleanup, especially low-end management. Now open macro map mode on the rack. We're going to map 8 macros. If you only want to build for today, you can, but I recommend doing the full set once and then saving it as your personal jungle weapon. Macro 1 is the main one. Name it pull. This knob is the suck the pad out of the mix control. Map multiple parameters to it so one move changes the pad's roll instantly. First, map auto filter frequency. Use a low pass 24 dB slope for that closing curtain feel. A good starting range is something like 18 kHz down to 400 Hz. But here's a coach tip. Macro scaling is the whole game. If you find the first half of the knob does nothing and all the action happens at the end, don't accept that. Right-click the macro mapping, open the map range, and compress it so the whole knob lives in the sweet spot. For example, make the macro's full travel equal 9 kHz down to 700 Hz. That way, every movement matters, and your recorded automation will feel more confident. Next, map hybrid reverb dry slash wet, something like 35% down to 10%. Map hybrid reverb decay time too, like 3.5 seconds down to around 1.2 seconds. Then map utility width, something like 140% down to 60%. This is a big part of the illusion. When the pad collapses toward mono, the break stereo field feels wider by contrast. Then map compressor threshold. We'll set the sidechain properly in a minute, but as a range, you can go from around minus 18 dB down to minus 30 dB. That means as you pull, the pad ducks more and more. Optionally, map saturator drives slightly upward as you pull, like 1 dB up to 3.5 dB. It adds density as it narrows, which keeps it audible without beating wide or wet. One more pro move here, inverse mapping for loudness stability. When you close a filter, The pad often feels like it disappears, not because it's getting out of the way, but because it literally got quieter. You can counter that by mapping utility gain slightly up as the filter closes, for example, 0 dB up to plus 2 dB as the pole increases. That way it stays present in the mids while still clearing bandwidth and space. This is one of those it suddenly sounds professional details. Cool. Macro 1 is the signature. Macro 2. Name it AIR or hiss. This is for the top end sparkle, that pirate radio airy vibe without needing an actual hiss loop. Map an EQ8 high shelf gain, say around 8 to 12 kHz, from 0 dB to plus 4 dB. Alternatively, you can map a little filter resonance, but be careful. Resonance can go from nice whine to why is it screaming very quickly. Macro 3. Name it space. Map hybrid reverb decay from around 1.2 seconds up to 6 seconds. Map reverb size upward too. And map pre-delay from about 5 milliseconds up to 35 milliseconds. Pre-delay is underrated. It lets the drums punch through even when the pad is wet, because the reverb bloom starts slightly after the transient. Macro 4. Name it motion. Map chorus ensemble amount from like 10% to 35%. Map phaser flanger rate from around 0.05 Hz to 0.25 Hz, slow and hypnotic. If you want, use auto filters LFO. Map LFO amount from 0 to 15% and set the LFO rate to something musical like 1 or 2 bars. The key is, jungle likes evolving movement, not EDM wobble. Think drift, not flex. Macro 5. Name it crunch. Map saturator drive from 0 dB up to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip and leave it on. If drive pushes things too loud, map saturator output down a bit as crunch increases, like 0 to minus 3 dB, so it doesn't jump in volume and mess up your mix decisions. Macro 6. Name it wash freeze. This is your transition fog. Map hybrid reverb decay up into the 10 to 20 second zone if you want it to bloom forever. Map dry slash wet from around 20% up to 60%. And a clever trick, as you wash out, raise the auto filter frequency slightly so the wash doesn't turn into low mid soup. Something like 2 kHz up to 6 kHz while the wash increases can keep it floating above the bass. Macro 7. Name it sidechain depth. Now we set the compressor properly. On the pad track compressor, turn on sidechain. Choose the input as your kick, or better, a dedicated ghost kick track. Ghost kick is consistent, and consistency is your friend when you're trying to get repeatable groove. Start with ratio around 4 to 1, attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release 80 to 180 milliseconds, then tune release to the groove. If it breathes with the break, you'll feel it. If it flutters or drags, it's wrong. Map the threshold so macro range could be minus 20 down to minus 35 dB. If you want extra range, map ratio from 3:1 up to 6:12, but threshold alone is often enough. One more advanced idea, break-sensitive ducking. Instead of side-chaining from the kick, you can build a ghost pattern that matches snare accents or a simple two-step. That way, the pad respects the groove like a band member instead of pumping randomly under chopped breaks. Macro 8. Name it width. Map utility width from 60% up to 160%. If your chorus has a width parameter, you can map a small range there too, but utility is the main control. And here's a jungle mindset tip. Keep pads narrower during the drop so the break feels massive. Then widen the pad in breakdowns where you want atmosphere. That contrast is the whole point. Before we start arranging, do one cleanup step. EQ the pad's low end. Pads do not get to live in the subzone. Put an HP filter somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz depending on the key and your bass. If you're in D minor and the sub is strong, 180 to 250 Hz is a very normal place to start. If you lose too much warmth, don't just push the HP higher, try a narrow dip around 200 to 400 Hz instead. That often clears mud without thinning the pad into paper. Now, composing with pad pull. This is where it becomes a junglist tool, not just sound design. We're going to use a simple 32 bar setup. Tease, pull, vacuum, drop. Bars 1 to 16, intro. Key pull low, meaning the pad is open, wide, and vibey. Bring space up a bit, maybe around 40%. Add a touch of air. Let it feel like the room is big and you're walking into it. Bars 17 to 24, tension. Now slowly increase pull from 0 to around 70% over those 8 bars. While you do that, maybe increase sidechain depth slightly so the drums start to dominate. The pad is still there, but it's stepping back and letting the break talk. Bars 25 to 32. Pre-drop vacuum. For one bar, maybe two. Hit wash freeze. Let it bloom into a fog. Then right before the drop, slam pull to 100%. And here's the drama move. Mute the pad for 2 to 4 beats, just a tiny moment of negative space. Then bring it back very quietly once the drop is established. That little vacuum moment is classic. It feels like the room collapses and then the break smacks you in the chest. Now, if you want the rolling section to keep moving without changing the drums, do the pad choke trick. Every 32 bars, do an 8-bar pull-up, then snap it back open. You can even do it in shorter sentences instead of smooth ramps. 2 bars stable, 2 bars moving, 1 bar hold, 1 bar spike, 2 bars recover. Jungle energy often comes from these slightly asymmetrical gestures. It feels human and a bit unpredictable, in a good way. Let's talk about recording the performance, because that's where macros really shine. Turn on automation arm. Map macro 1 to a physical knob if you've got a controller. If not, mouse is fine. Just commit to the gesture. Loop a 64-bar section and record 2 or 3 takes of you performing the pull and a little bit of space, and wash. Then pick the best take. Edit only what's obviously broken. Don't sterilize it. Jungle benefits from slightly imperfect moves. It feels like someone is riding the mix. When you do go into automation lanes, smooth the awkward jumps with gentle curves, but keep a couple of intentional snaps. Those sudden cuts are part of the old school language. Now, quick checklist of common mistakes so you can avoid the usual pain.